thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. My next guest brings over 30 years of leadership excellence, focusing on forging partnerships and building brands, experience in consumer products, manufacturing, finance, marketing, sales, and he has guided a rapid development of his current company from a startup to one of the most innovative hardware platforms in the cannabis industry. That company is called Ammonite, and I'm with the president and founder of Ammonite, Mike McDonald. Mike, thanks for being on.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. And I want to go ahead and just ask real quick, what were you necessarily doing right now as part of Ammonite? Now, I also know that one of the things that was being brought up a lot was that you previously worked with Jetty Extracts. We've talked to the folks there here on this program, and you served as an advisor and chief corporate development officer, developing and patenting the Jetty Extracts, developing and patenting the Dablicator, easy and efficient and clean oil dispenser. And you saw the market potential, scaled the growth of that IP and another of other CBD products and patent pending cannabis accessories. So what is it now that you do as part of Ammonite? Give me more of the overview of what you're doing now with Ammonite itself. So Ammonite was involved in the process with Jetty Extracts and Dablicator, correct?
I'll walk you through it real quick. So Jetty Extracts, one of the largest cannabis brands in California, as you know, and Colorado, New York now, and soon New Jersey, the founders at Jetty invented the Dablicator. I became part of the Jetty team in 2016, 2017, initially as an advisor. And then I joined full time as the chief revenue officer and really was focused on helping grow the business, and we raised capital and so forth. So I'm one of the shareholders there and was very involved on the executive team. Around 2019, 2020, the Dablicator, which was only available as a Jetty item, we started getting some inquiries, hey, could we get this for our brands? So long story short, we spun off the Dablicator into its own company. That company is called Ammonite, but that's just really the company name. We do business as Dablicator. So Ammonite is essentially just a corporate name. The entirety of our business right now is focused on this Dablicator platform and some accessories associated with Dablicator. And again, I mentioned we spun this out around late 2019, 2020, honestly, right in my garage. Like because our offices for Jetty were down in East Oakland. There's a lot of COVID restrictions for people that only would go there if they needed to. So I sort of took this idea, developed it in my garage with a part-time designer, and kind of grew it from there.
Just for people to know, we had a limited series called Potline Bling. And the folks at Mellow Phil actually hosted that program, JJ Coombs. You can actually find the interview that he had with the CEO of Jetty Extracts, Nate Ferguson, on that program. We had it back in August. So if you want to go and take that for reference, take a look for that. You can learn more about Jetty Extracts there. But in terms of what you're doing now, how would you go and per se, what you've already done, if you go to the website, AmmoniteINC.com, you show basically as the two products are the CBD products that Jetty provides and the Dablicator. So for those that look at what you do, what is it about? How would you best describe Ammonite right now? The fact that what you're doing, is it more in consultancy, more in strategy, implementation, business development? How would you best describe what everything encompasses that Ammonite does right now?
Yeah, I mean, Ammonite honestly, its entire focus is Dablicator. We had a Jetty CBD branded line for a bit. And that's sort of, I wouldn't say, it's somewhat shelved based on a variety of reasons. But we did develop the IP around Jetty CBD. It's something that we might reactivate at some point. But I had even forgotten that we have an AmmoniteInc.com website. It's really Dablicator.com. That's where we're focused entirely. Right. And it's you know, as I mentioned, Ammonite is simply a corporate entity with that does business as Dablicator. So that's what that is. And then, you know, with Dablicator, we've just, and you mentioned Nate Ferguson. He's one of the co-founders of Jetty. He's one of the inventors of Dablicator. He and Ron Gershoni and Rob Ferguson, invented this product to be a better way to dab, but then they realized it was a better way to ingest cannabis orally to put in food. And so we just sort of took the technology, made a platform out of it instead of just a thing, and created this platform that lets other brands throughout the US, Canada, now soon to be Europe and Mexico, to utilize this platform for their brand and their oil.
Right. And so I've seen in a bunch of different places how you also, you're represented as the president of Dablicator. And one of the things that's been done recently is the fact that revenue right now on the retail end for Dablicator has passed $100 million. You now have a brand partnership with TerrAscend's leading in-house brands. You also brought that proprietary into their products as well. Right. And they've joined the oil app, the Dablicator Oil Applicator Brand Partner Program for best class in-house brands. And their products include Gage Cannabis, Kind Tree, and Alera Healthcare. We've talked to a couple of those people on the program too.
Sure.
And the idea is the oil applicator Dablicator is crafted to replace messy syringes and is compatible with all oil types and to become the leading name in concentrate delivery hardware. So what can you tell me about the hardware itself that makes it so durable and also makes it, it's, okay, I guess kind of spill free. It's much more efficient for what you're trying to do in terms of what we're looking for dab application.
Yeah, it's a better delivery device for cannabis oil that you want to use to make a joint, infused joint with, to put it in food, to put it in a dab rig because it's not messy. You can put it on your finger and ingest it. People are using it to refill cartridges because it's really sleek and designed that way. And I don't know if you've seen one, and I'm not sure we're going to be on camera, but it, you know, this is what it looks like. And it's got a really twist, you know, this is a Kind Tree version of it, twist and plunge. So you get really sort of measured doses. So it's just got a lot of cool features. And you can imagine, as far as replacing a syringe, I think you'd probably want this in your backpack or your pocket more so than a sketchy looking syringe.
Right, with the needle coming out like it is. And you made a point of how that comes across. You mentioned that the Dablicator demonstrates a need, quote, for a product that supersedes traditional syringes, replacing classic hardware, something more efficient and versatile. Which the truth is, you would think that more syringes would be done that way anyway. I mean, first of all, you go get blood drawn. You don't necessarily like to go and see that big, long needle coming off of there. You want to see a syringe that's much more pliable. And the same way here, the syringe, so it's able to, you're going to put the product on that concentrate, so it's easy to go and drop into the dab. And it just sits in there almost like, like a syringe, or just almost like a droplet kind of feel to it. You want something that's efficient, and also, like you said, because of how thick and the consistency, the viscosity of the dab, that you want to be able to have it so it's clean, it's able to go and, you know, obviously, like, you can dispense and it's no mess, no fuss.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a better mousetrap, if you will, than a syringe, but it's much more than that. It's what we found is, first of all, the market for syringes is tiny. There's a lot of them sold primarily into the medical market because patients want their medicine and they want it no fuss. So a syringe kind of works for that. Dablicator replaces the syringe for the medical market entirely. We have a lot of our partners putting RSO into it. So RSO is a very, very a desired product in the medical side of the business. 710 Labs has got its really sort of award-winning RSO out in Dablicator. But the product itself is a better mousetrap, but it's also way more discreet. And when I say better mousetrap, easier to use, better dosing. But what I think has really differentiated us and given us that growth, you mentioned $100 million in retail revenue. That's pretty impressive. And it's something that we hadn't really thought about. We just had our heads down, you know, trying to build the business. But what that means is $100 million were spent by consumers in the last 18 months to say, I want one of those with your oil in it, meaning your oil Kind Tree or your oil 710 Lab. So, and that press release that came out talks also about our partnership with TerrAscend and their three brands. But what's important to note is we have 43 brand partners now nationally in 26 markets. So TerrAscend is one of them. So we now have 43 brand partners like Jetty, like 710, like TerrAscend, like Columbia Care, like GTI, like Cresco, that put their oil in a branded hardware and package that we manufacture for them. And then, and the reason I mentioned Alex, and one of the reasons we've been so successful is we then actively engage with the brand partners to educate the market, the bud tenders at retail, online, through social. We handhold with them as they launch their brand, their oil on the Dablicator platform. So it's a great device, but I think the real secret sauce is us wrapping our arms around our brand partners, becoming part of their team, and helping them sell $100 million worth of product in the last 18 months. So I think what we found is a cool mousetrap. We've invented it, we've patented it, we have multiple pending, but I think the real success is about how we execute on what we call the customer and partner success side. We don't just leave them. We don't just sell them some hardware like a vape cart and say, good luck. We partner deeply with them to help them sell a ton of their oil and their brand into the market. Does that make sense?
Sure. It absolutely does. The oil applicator itself, it's either you have it loaded with full spectrum live resin or a clean and potent live rosin oil. And the other thing too is it also is very heat resistant. When you're looking at people that probably, they're not just doing one dab, they're doing it again and again on a very hot surface. And you want to be able to have it where you can drop in. It's not going to get any, a lot of mess and a lot of stickiness around that. It's just a clean drop. It's in and you're consuming again. That's very important to have. Well, now as this happens, it's been for a couple of years, you've had this to market. Talk to me about just, you know, the constant thing that you learned that from all these different brands that have been brought on board that are now using this process, what are they saying the most about? I mean, does this feel like something that you just feel like you don't need to make any other products? This product right now is standing alone. All you're doing is continuing to bring more and more companies to learn, you know, the real, the getting the praises of the Dablicator and getting them to go ahead and get on this technology that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got product in development, but this really is the lead product in the portfolio. And by the way, from a standpoint of what oils go in it, and it really has a lot to do with the market, but terped distillate works really well in this product. Live resin works well. Rosin and solventless, CBD, RSO. So it's really, as long as the viscosity is not super, super thick or super hard, it works beautifully for all types of oils. So you've got, you know, so for example, in Delaware, in back east, some markets, all you have is distillate available because of the, you know, the biomass supply chain. In really mature markets like California, rosin and live resin is king, whereas distillate is kind of just high potency for the price. So you've got a product that kind of really covers all oil types, which help focus different markets on different oil types and consumers. And then you've got a product that goes way beyond dabbing, right? It's used for all those other case studies, which opens up the opportunity to our partners, customers. Somebody that wouldn't dab can buy a Dablicator to mix it into their guacamole. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we have a whole cookbook and recipe card coming that come out. Somebody that doesn't want it in an edible and won't dab would probably love to put it while they roll a joint and have it their own infused joint. Someone that just wants their medicine will take a little dab on their finger and put it under their tongue. So someone in some markets where they can buy empty cartridges can use it to fill their own cartridges. So you know, making edibles, filling cartridges, dabbing directly, putting it on a joint, putting it on flour, eating it. It's just a real versatile device that brings in a lot of customers that might not otherwise be interested in concentrates. So what we've heard from our customers is we need an easy lift, meaning we are busy. We had 5 people for this particular area of the business, but because of the industry, we're down to 1. We don't have money to invest in capital equipment to bring on a new product. We need to have, you know, ideally we have kilos and kilos of distillate sitting in the vault and we need something to do with it. So we come in and we make it totally stress-free. We do all the custom branding, full turnkey packaging, no additional cost needs to be put into the factory. So that checks that box. It's the same oil generally, and the same filling equipment is what they're using for their vape. And then, as I mentioned, as far as a launch, we act as an extension of their brand and product team, and we partner with them deeply on launching and getting them assets from, you know, from you know, postcards to swag to digital assets for them as part of the program. So it really makes it a light lift. And those that have actively allowed us to actively engage with them have been incredibly successful. We have a partner in Florida that's selling $500,000 to $750,000 a month of new, and it's new revenue too, Rasko. That's what's interesting. What's cool about Dablicator is it's cool and people are buying it, but what we found is it's incremental revenue to the basket size, because a retailer doesn't want to sell your cartridge because it might take the revenue from my cartridge. What they're looking for is incremental revenue, accretive revenue. And we found that as the basket size with a Dablicator in it is sometimes as much as 60% bigger than a non-Dablicator basket. So you're solving all these pain points for your partner. Easy to set up, no new capital equipment. We do all the turnkey branding and packaging, and we actively participate in marketing and educating your customers and your bud tenders, and it's incremental revenue. So it's kind of a unicorn in a way. I mean, dare I say that, but it's a white space that people didn't even know they wanted, right? It's this product that people look at it, customers look at it, and they're like, whoa, why didn't somebody come up with this before?
Right.
That's the product. But I think, as I mentioned multiple times, I'd say as important, if not more important, is all the back end stuff that we do to make it really easy for our partners.
I want to make this point as we wrap things up. Because of the technology you've made, it's not that far away from, and I don't think it would be that far away, far-fetched to go and see where this kind of technology could be used into vape technology. And be able to go ahead and say, well, let's just change the application. Let's just make it something that people can go ahead and put the oils in and be able to go ahead and consume vapes from, and either a portable or a much more standard, you know, piece that just refills on a regular basis. Is that something anybody's talked about over there? Is that something that, if possible, could the Dablicator be, you know, retrofitted and changed into be something that could be a vape device?
Well, it doesn't have electronics in it. So what it is being used as is certainly important. The e-rigs and the technology and e-rigs, like the Puffcos of the world. Mm-hmm. It's a really great portable way to enjoy dabbing. There are some really cool handheld e-rigs that are, you know, look like vape pens. And we make one, actually. It's called the Dab Pen XS. It's one of our new products where you just pop the top off, put a squirt of Dablicator oil in there, pop the top back on and hit it just like a vape pen. But the device itself is really a delivery mechanism. It's not designed to be smoked or vaped by itself. It's there to deliver oil for all these different applications, one of which is vaping or dabbing.
So let's go ahead and direct people to the website. There are companies out there, as you said, 43 brands and counting, I'm sure, that would love to be a part and take part in Dablicator. So you have people that have the opportunity to go and go to your website, dablicator.com, dablicator.com.
Yeah.
You can go, there's a contact form, extensive. And for those that want to go ahead and get on to them, what would you tell them if they want to partner with you in the partner program and go ahead, go forward with your technology, what would you tell them?
I would say go to dablicator.com, learn a little bit about the device on the consumer-facing piece. There's a little button that says brand partners. You click on that and you can learn about the brand partner program. And if it looks like it might be interesting, fill out that form. We'll respond immediately. And honestly, what we do is we set up a call like this to just really see if it's a good fit. We're not bringing everybody onto the platform. It's premium partners in the different markets. And generally, if you're a really good brand and you have some retail presence or you've got good distribution in your market, it can be a good fit. It's not always a good fit. We don't accept everybody that makes inquiries, but generally, if you're a premium brand partner, a premium brand and or have really strong retail, and you have a great house brand, it can be a really great fit.
Mike McDonald, president at Ammonite, the parent company of Dablicator. And Dablicator.com is the website to go to if you want to be interested in the partner program. Mike, thanks so much for making the time to join us.
Thank you, sir.
Stay tuned. We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. With me right now is the CEO and director of a clinical stage biotechnology company headquartered in Palo Alto, California. I think that's where Stanford's located, correct? Focus on development of therapeutics for unmet medical needs and chronic pain, inflammation, and fibrosis. And here to talk about this because of the fact that this company has been working on developing synthetic cannabinoid analogs for the treatment of those diagnoses. And that company is 180 Life Sciences. I'm now with the CEO and director of 180 Life Sciences, Dr. Jim Woody. Dr. Jim, thanks for being on.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. So you have this SCA or synthetic cannabinoid analogs program. You've developing drug products to offer a robustly consistent and safe dosage while allowing patient intake to be carefully controlled. Very important areas to go into. And you're developing proprietary compounds, safe, non-addictive, non-psychoactive, more than 99.5% pure, offering improved oral bioavailability and rigorously tested for the relief of inflammatory pain. So there are a lot of different areas of inflammation that can be talked about as ailments that need treatment. So give me a little bit more context, and if you can summarize as much as you can, the areas of focus right now that you're looking to do right now with these SCAs.
Sure. So 180 Life Sciences was formed by the merger of 3 companies. One of them was called CanBioRx, which still exists as one of our subsidiaries. Mm-hmm. And CanBioRx was the company that was working on cannabinoids. And this was work done even before 180LS was formed between Professor Raphael Michelin of Hebrew University, who's actually the discoverer of the human endocannabinoid system. And Dr. Mark Feldman, who was a colleague of mine, he and I worked out that anti-TNF was able to prevent the inflammation and joint destruction in rheumatoid arthritis. And anti-TNF drugs are now the largest anti-inflammatory drugs on the market at over $40 billion a year. So Dr. Feldman and I and our colleagues have been involved in this. We also learned that anti-TNF was effective in Crohn's disease and psoriasis and ulcerative colitis. So we have a lot of experience over the years in inflammatory diseases. Working with Dr. Michelin, he was a brilliant scientist, and published a huge number of papers. Unfortunately, just passed away recently. But we have been working with his laboratory and his fellows for some time. And if you go to your local vendor and buy CBD or cannabis, it's over 100 compounds. So it's nothing close to being pure or a single compound that you can test and figure out which ones are doing the beneficial activities. And so we work with Dr. Michelin and develop some synthetic single molecules that have the same properties as some of the CBDs. And so we found using some informative inflammatory animal models, which we were able to predict was effective in rheumatoid arthritis and other inflammatory diseases, that these synthetic compounds were anti-inflammatory and also analgesic. And so we've been working with those since they're single compounds and they're something you could make into a particular pill or into some formulation that's easily absorbed. You realize that CBD per se, the local variety, even the commercial stuff is very poorly absorbable if you take it orally. That's why they have to put it in oil or something else or administer it via some other route. But we would see the ability of having an orally available CBD compound to be quite attractive that we could use in inflammation and pain.
Now, with some people that might be hearing, when they hear the word synthetic, and we're thinking about the fact that a lot of commercial products, as you make mention of, there is Delta 8 and Delta 9 THC, an active component of cannabis sativa that is out there. And there might be some people that might get those, the area of treatment that you're trying to do with the development that you're working on of using synthetic cannabinoid analog therapy. So I want to just, if you can help me go and just distinguish to make sure how it is, it's separate from what people might be perceiving the narrative of Delta 8 or Delta 9.
Yeah, you know, most of the small molecules or pills that you take are really synthetic compounds. They're single compounds like Advil or Aleve or any of those. So synthetic just means that we have a single compound rather than a big mixture of things. And so it's a very common use for lots of different medicines. So it's useful for what we're doing to differentiate it from compounds that are mixtures.
I guess I'm just trying to go and get my head wrapped around where everything comes from and how it's all put together. So now the part of the program that's being focused right now early on is early stage Dupuytren's contracture, condition which affects approximately, well, we're talking about a combined 30 million people in the U.S., European Union, and the U.K. And right now you're in currently a phase 2B trial. Final results will be published in the Lancet Rheumatology, and meeting a primary endpoint of nodule hardness and secondary endpoint of nodule size with statistical significance. And so far, findings have been there have been no treatment-related serious adverse events. Is the only treatment for early-stage fibrosis of the hand. The program is filling an important need, medical need, and promises to be a potentially lucrative treatment. Can you tell me behind this particular study and what you're learning about the fibrosis of the hand, this part of this inflammation and the study you're doing? Talk to me about what was being done in terms of the process. Was it random, blind, clinical based? Anything you can give us about that and who were participating in the study or how many did participate in the study?
Yeah, ever since Dr. Feldman and I discovered the utility of the anti-TNF biologics in arthritis and Crohn's disease and psoriasis back in the late 90s, there's lots of companies making those now, but no new indications. They're still treating the same things, all of them. And so our scientists in the UK discovered that certain kinds of fibrosis were driven by TNF. And one of the conditions is called Dupuytren's hand contracture. It starts as a small nodule in your hand, in the palm of your hand. And this nodule leads to fibrous cords that pull your fingers together. And some famous people like Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher had Dupuytren's contracture. And up until now, there's no therapies to stop it from going on to the disability that your hand can't work anymore. You can't button your clothes. You can't type until you have surgery to release the fibrous cords. So this fibrosis program is quite different from anything we're doing with the cannabinoids. With the synthetic cannabinoids, we're focusing on inflammation and pain. And by that, I mean, if you take patients with rheumatoid arthritis or any of the severe, painful diseases that they have, even the anti-TNFs, even though they keep this under control, they don't make all the pain and inflammation go away. They just sort of keep it under control so you can relive a fairly normal life. So what happens when you have chronic severe pain? Well, most people rely on things like Advil or Aleve and the what they call non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. But these things, even though they're in wide use, have some problems in terms of damage to kidneys and other things. So overdosing is a real problem in the country. And the next step up from there for severe pain, of course, is the opioids, which you want to avoid for all the problems that you have with the opioids. So we're hoping that our synthetic versions can fit in the middle there, be non-addictive, be anti-inflammatory, and also relieve pain that would help these patients with rheumatoid arthritis or any other kinds of inflammatory pain. And so that's where we're hoping to position this going forward, to avoid the problem of NSAIDs and also avoid the problem of the opioids going forward. So that's what we're thinking about for this particular class of compounds, which we're continuing to develop.
I also want to make a point that through a mainstream science, there's been reports that Harvard Health actually spoke about, where there was a review back in December of last year in the JAMA Network Open, where they did a meta-analysis of 20 randomized controlled studies, the effect of positive media attention on patient expectations for pain relief from cannabis products. They had 1,400 plus people participating, all had neuropathic pain, oh my God, or pain from multiple sclerosis. And what they were given was a placebo, either given as a pill, spray, oil, smoke, or vapor. And participants receiving active treatment, they reported similar levels of pain relief. The idea was that it was that while there were other products that might be used for pain relief, that this cannabis placebo provided very similar pain relief as a cannabis-based product. So what they're talking about is just that they're looking at the idea of how much you're learning from this. I don't know what you know about this particular study or what other studies have been out there about if, you know, instead of replacing aspirin or ibuprofen with cannabis, what can you tell me about, you know, what is it? Is it a standalone, more effective treatment, what you're doing, or does it stand in line as a better replacement for other treatment methods?
Yeah, it's a good point. One of the issues is that neuropathic pain is very hard to treat. It's very difficult and it's persistent and doesn't respond well to medicines, and people have developed all kinds of options. Now, the problem with providing cannabis is, like I said, it's a mixture of compounds, and some of them may be effective, some of them not. For a single drug like we have, we'll be able to actually test how much is in the blood and how much it needs to relieve any kind of pain. We can work that out, whereas you can't do that with the usual source of cannabis. Now, placebo effects in some of these trials is problematic for sure. Right. And if the placebo is by the person perceived to be beneficial, their reports will be improved. And that tells you that there's a component of concern over the pain that's relieved by just thinking that it's going to be beneficial. So it's not surprising that you might find with that. In our cases, we'll be treating really pain that's not affected by placebo because we know how severe it is. So we'll be able to work that out. But yeah, you need. I think you need single compounds that are potent, that you can actually measure how much you're giving in the blood to get to the levels that you want to create the analgesic effect that you'd like.
So ultimately, in the studies and the work you're doing at this stage, ultimately, what would be the treatment? What would be the dosage? What would be ultimately, what would be the actual regimen that can be made now to help relieve or help alleviate some of the symptoms that you're talking about here when it comes to chronic pain, inflammation, and fibrosis? What is the end goal?
Yeah, well, this is a classical pains type of study, and inflammation and pain study. So initially, and this is things we're working on as we speak, and then a year from now, I can give you a report, sure, is to try to find out how much of this synthetic cannabinoid we can administer and what levels we can achieve in the blood, giving it orally. And that's a process we're working on. Once we figure out how much we could administer and how much we can get into the bloodstream, then we'll actually do a real pain study and compare it to some other anti-pain agents to see whether it's effective. And at that point, assuming that it's as good or better than some of the things that are out there, we'll be able to have a product that, like I said, is non-addictive and doesn't carry the toxicity of the NSAIDs and might be quite beneficial to patients that need to avoid opioids for sure. So that's the plan going forward, and we're working on all of those things.
It's a lot to go through. Now, for those that might be out there and saying, okay, so if this is through these SCAs, if we're looking and hearing, oh, well, it might be similar to certain products that might be out there, what do you say to those that might already say, well, maybe there's existing treatments, if your study's already proving that? I mean, is it better not, would it be better to be patient to look for a treatment to come along the lines, or is there something existing right now that can help to alleviate these particular symptoms?
We're not aware of any of the cannabinoid products currently out there that are really effective at relieving pain and inflammation. Mm-hmm. There may be some coming along, but those would be considered in our trial designs and things like that. So we'll keep in touch with what's going on in the field. But
what I want to ask was potential. Not so much where I'm recommending products. I didn't want to make it that point. I'm just saying for those that might be patients and they're looking to have some kind of treatment, if they go ahead and look to say, okay, we'll just put two and two together, if he's saying it's this, maybe we need to go look for products that might be similar. What would you say to those patients that are dealing with this right now, waiting for that kind of relief? If there is something that comes down the line, in the meantime, you know, is there anything out there that is to help at the moment until you can really get more definitive results of the study?
Well, the clinical use in inflammatory pain like arthritis or other things, you know, as I just pointed out, they commonly use Advil and Aleve, and there's several similar kinds of products which kind of work, but they carry the side effect of causing eventual kidney damage. Right. And beyond that, there's just not much before you get to the next step into things like opioids, which you want to avoid. So there's a place there for compounds, and maybe some of these synthetic CBDs will be able to fill that place and be much more potent than perhaps the Advil or Aleve, but also not provide the problems of the opioids. It's kind of what we're thinking and hoping. And there's some out there that may be able to do that, but they have to be tested properly. And the FDA and the other regulatory agencies in Europe and in Israel, where some of our work is being done, they have pretty strict guidelines about how you do these pain studies. And we're very familiar with them. And we'll be guided by these regulatory agencies to get to the place where we can get an approved drug.
And for those that want to go ahead and be involved and really help out in the study, just to give a heads up that 180 Life Sciences is publicly traded. And for those that want to go ahead and participate and put and follow along and help to go ahead and support the company, the company is available, is listed on the NASDAQ on the stock exchange. The stock ticker is ATNF. ATNF, as you know, I'm a little bit of a, for listeners might know, I kind of talk about stocks. So when I get a chance to go mention a stock ticker here, become a shareholder, be a part in some way to help participate. Now, for those that want to also possibly help to invest in what you're doing right now, or, you know, help and give some kind of any kind of support they can, the website is 180lifesciences.com. 180lifesciences.com. And for those that want to go ahead and come in and contact you, whether it's investors, whether it's people that might be able to help in some other way, what should they do? What should they do when they go to the website? Who would you like to hear from?
You know, typically what we do with our website is we list any of the clinical trials that we're undertaking. And those are listed with the FDA under theclinicaltrials.com. And one can go there and see if there's a trial going on that we're sponsoring and who's doing it and what the sites are located. These are FDA-sponsored trials. Now, it'll be some time before we get to the FDA and actually have these trials, but you can track it on our website. And if there's sites near where a person lives and it's convenient, they might be enrolled in the trials. Sure, we can accommodate that. It's typically how you do things, and make sure that the trials are well advertised and available to people to be participating in.
Now, we were talking before about fibrosis of the hand or Dupuytren's disease, and the fact that 180 Life Sciences already has issued a notice of allowance, already has a patent application from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Offices to have that patent related to treating Dupuytren's disease. That was back in February. Is there any update you can give us on where you are in having that patent and where you are in terms of being able to move forward about having a method of treating the disease using a prefilled syringe?
Right. We also, I believe, the prefilled syringe patent has been also issued. So injecting these nodules in the hand turns out to be tough because they're tough fibrous tissues, mm-hmm. and it requires a special tougher needle and a tougher syringe than is usually used for the way the anti-TNFs are given to rheumatoid arthritis patients, which is a very fine needle. And so we've been able to work that out. At present, we're talking with the UK regulatory agencies called the MHRA, Medical Health Care Administration there, to see if we can get approved to sell the drugs in the UK. And in due course, we'll also meet with the US FDA to probably initiate final trials and approval here in the US. But that's the process that is actually quite lengthy, but we'll get there, and we're on our way with what we think will be a very good therapy, and certainly one that prevents people from having the disability with Dupuytren's. But it's not really related to the CBD programs, but it's the ones we're carrying forward. And another condition of fibrosis is called frozen shoulder, in which a lot of these people have Dupuytren's, the fibrosis, and we think the frozen shoulder is the same process, and we'll be doing trials in frozen shoulder as well going forward. So there's a number of things that we have going on in the inflammation and fibrosis field.
And with the treatment for Dupuytren's disease, just to give people a heads up as well, companies already put out they've already put out a publication of a review on the treatments for the early stage of this disease. And that's, you can actually find that in the Journal of Hand Surgery, European volume. It was published there back in January this year. So right. There's a lot of things you're working on. And yes, this is not related to CBD treatment and what you're doing, but I just thought it's important to go make the point that it's across the board. I mean, you're looking at cannabis as a possible treatment option, and you're studying it, but also you're looking at other treatments as well. So you're not looking to use this in some kind of a venture where it's like cannabis only. That cannabis, you embrace the fact that cannabis can be very effective and can offer pain relief. You're already starting to see the results of that. There are definitely signs that show that. Other clinical outlets, so like a Harvard, are already saying so as well, using placebos. I mean, we're seeing right now the effects. If we want a reason for people to understand why cannabis is so important in terms of from the medical standpoint, if we can show more evidence and proof that of various afflictions, various symptoms that are out there, and no longer keep cannabis in that stereotype that it's only used for the entourage effect, that it can actually be used as a treatment option. And it can actually take away the weaning off of opioids or any other narcotics would be a great boost. It's a natural organic product out there. And you're even doing it, even going through the synthetic route with these synthetic, these SEAs and going that route as well. It's important work you're doing right now with the synthetic cannabinoid analog program, with what you're doing across the board on all this issue of pathological inflammation. So it's important work what you're doing. It might be hard for me to wrap my heart or my head around, but I get what you're trying to do. And it's great. It's very brave work. And it's a lot of that needs to be put into, a lot of investment, a lot of time, a lot of resources. So I really appreciate your team for doing that. So just going to close things out. What would you want our listeners to do to go and follow along? Obviously, we'd love to go and have you back when you hear, you learn more about the studies and what you're able to go and find out in your findings. But what can people do to go and stay involved with what you're doing? One more time, what should they go ahead and look out for, and what can they do to help?
I think you're exactly right that these the CBD compounds do have really potential, if very effective, medicinal effects for inflammation and pain. And the key here is to be able to find compounds that you can give in sufficient quantity to be able to do that, to help not just pain, but even things like PTSD and seizures and all the other things that are kind of on the fringe of CBD utilization. So we think that they're effective drugs. We just need to make them pure enough and be able to administer them in a sufficient dose to help people. And at that point, then they'll be quite beneficial and not carry a lot of the toxicities that other things do. So we're very optimistic that eventually we'll be able to get there.
I worked at a pharmacy when I was growing up, Eckers Pharmacy down here in South Florida. And I remember seeing some of the pharmacists that were here. And when they would look at some of the patients, they would go ahead and dole out dosage, and seeing the amount of chronic pain medications, you know, anything with schedule 1, which is, it could be Lorcet or Lortab or hydrocodone or Percocet when it was available back in the day, and or oxycodone, and just knowing the abuse that was being done to it, and seeing how some people would just snap and be into a violent rage if they were not able to get that 30-day dose. And sometimes they would go ahead and get the dose, and obviously they've been using a little bit more than prescribed, and they run out. They say, well, the doctor needs to give me another script. And I'm like, there has to be a better way. So we need to fight this cause here to get people off of this. And also, you know, the fact of there are people out there that illegal narcotics are going on out there, or illegal medicines, like when we already talked about the opioid epidemic. All these things can be relieved if we can get more into a more natural, organic term of treatment and relief. That's what I hope what you're doing is able to go and further that cause. So again, great. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk to me. I'm Dr. Jim Woody's been with me, the CEO of 180 Life Sciences. Thank you so much for being on with us. Website again is 180lifesciences.com, 180lifesciences.com. And like I said, I think it's not a bad idea to go ahead. If you want to go ahead and help further the cause, be a shareholder, listed on the NASDAQ, ticker ATNF. Dr. Jim, thanks for being on with us. Thanks for giving us the information.
My pleasure. And I'm in total agreement. Let's move away from the addictive drugs and find some that are effective for all of our patients who need it.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.